This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and wonderful and oh-so-curious friends. You are looking fantastic. Hi, my name is Jed Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, explorers, and other experts as they solve problems in the field using curiosity, creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. Right now, please welcome to the show my partner in exploration, the Admiral of Adventure, the Dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson.
Hello, Jed. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm doing great down here in Florida, and I'm so excited. We have a fantastically awesome show today.
Oh, cool. What are we going to answer?
Oh, why don't you spin the wheel and let's find out.
Duh, good idea. Here we go.
Why should we care about biodiversity?
Why should we care about biodiversity? I'm not even sure what biodiversity is.
Oh, it is the coolest thing, and it's so important in our world. And we have an extra special guest here to tell us all about it. We have Philippe Cousteau, who is a filmmaker, explorer, and environmental advocate, and he's going to talk all about biodiversity.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, Philippe.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this is such a cool topic, biodiversity. Can you start out by telling kids, what is biodiversity?
So biodiversity is basically the amount of different living things that live on this planet. The diversity, all the different kinds of animals and plants and insects and viruses and bacteria. I mean, everything that lives, that's living on this planet.
Wow. And, you know, I started doing this when my kids were young. We would go out into the backyard and start really focusing. And we had this one beautiful oak tree. And we would try to imagine and try to count how many different creatures we could find living in that one tree. And you just couldn't count them all. There were so many. There were bugs and worms and birds and insects. It was so cool.
Jed, you're right. You know, one of my favorite things to do, I have a little 2-year-old daughter. One of my favorite things to do is to go outside and just look in the grass. And that's what's so amazing about biodiversity and so amazing about nature is that just in a square foot of your lawn, if you dig into the dirt, there's all sorts of different critters and different things going on, entire like ecosystems of animals that live their life within that tiny little space. And the world is full of millions of different types of different species of animals from big to small. And it's really an extraordinary thing to explore.
It is. And so why is this important? Like all of these animals coexist together, you know, in a good way, or are some like eating the other ones, or what? How does that work?
Well, maybe some of your listeners probably heard of the food web or food chain, which helps to describe how all the different animals in nature are related to each other. That you're right, Jennifer, some animals eat each other. Some animals eat plants. Some animals, you know, plants are considered what we call primary producers. They're the animals, or they're plants, and they are the primary producers of energy. In other words, they capture energy from the sun, and they convert that into sugars. And then other animals eat them to start that energy chain that ends up at the top of that food chain, which tends to be large predators like ourselves or bears or sharks, things like that. And then everything within that is this really complex web of different animals feeding off other animals, different animals living in relationship and symbiotic, like positive, helpful relationships with other animals, animals that require different types of plants. And all of it is this complex web. And if you start to remove certain pieces of it, then it can affect the entire web, the entire food chain, the entire food web. And so biodiversity is important because no creature on this planet is, let's say, is an island, can exist by itself. We all, including human beings, need all these other animals to create this rich tapestry of life for us to be able to survive. And everybody likes to eat food and drink clean water and be able to breathe air. Well, animals and plants play vital roles in providing all of those things for us. And so if we don't have a lot of biodiversity, lots of different kinds of animals and plants out there, then that affects our ability to do those fundamental things like eat and breathe and drink water.
Those little important things.
Philippe, one of the things when you were first talking about biodiversity, you were mentioning insects and animals and bacteria, and then you also mentioned viruses. And I don't know about you, but I've just had it up to here with viruses. Do we really need viruses?
You know, Joe, that's a great question. Here's the thing about viruses is that they play also an important role in our environment. And of course, there's a virus right now that people are, you know, that has caused this global pandemic. It's a terrible tragedy. But there are millions, if not billions, of different kinds of viruses on this planet. And some of them play important roles in helping to cause life to recycle, cause life to go into the atmosphere, go into the environment, and maybe weed out the sick or the diseased animals in nature. And then those animals become food for other animals, or maybe they'll also combat some viruses that we would consider bad are actually attacked by other viruses that help us. So not all viruses are dangerous for humans. Not all viruses are deadly. But viruses, just like every other creature, living creature on Earth, plays a really important role in maintaining balance on this planet so that we can all thrive.
And I like balance. Yes, that's what's important. So let's talk a little bit. Let's bring it down to the kids in their backyard. So when they are looking for biodiversity in their backyard, what should they be looking for? And what should they see? Because what if their backyard isn't biodiverse? Is that bad?
That's certainly an issue. What we're finding sometimes is depending on, say, for example, sometimes people will spray pesticides or poison onto plants to get rid of certain types of insects, maybe in their garden. But maybe this is an unintended consequence. Maybe that is also hurting other insects and lots of different creatures that might live in that garden. And so, yes, when we see diversity and biodiversity decline, that is a bad thing because, again, everything is connected. So let's take, for example, the little worms and little critters in the soil. Well, that is food for something. So those little worms are maybe food for birds and songbirds that we love to see in the trees flying around.
Yeah.
And then those songbirds maybe are also eating seeds from some plants or some trees. And then they'll spread those seeds to other places so more trees and more plants can grow. And so if you think about this little worm that you might think is icky, well, that worm has a really important role probably to play in feeding these birds, and maybe these birds are then also help to feed other larger animals. And then those animals help to feed other animals. And then you get this wonderful tapestry, as I said earlier, of life that is really fascinating. And if you remove any one piece of that, then it really starts to impact that. And then let's think about things like bees. That's a really good example of an animal that is so important to people, right? As pollinators. So not just bees, but also butterflies, certain types of birds, little different animals that pollinate plants, many of which plants we eat, that we rely on these pollinators like bees to not just spread pollen from flowers that we think are pretty, but also from the flowers that provide fruit crops or vegetables and things that we need that we like to have on our dinner table. And so without those pollinators, well, sometimes you have an issue where maybe those kinds of crops are suffering, and maybe we have issues around our food supply. Again, it all goes back to how everything's connected. So we might not realize it, but that amazing bee that we see flying around has a really important role in providing the food that we like to eat.
And so what can kids do? You know, I know a lot of kids are out there thinking, I'm just a kid. How can I help biodiversity?
Well, one thing you can do is, depending on where you live, and that's the wonderful thing, is that no matter where, even if you look out, even if you live in a place like, let's say, maybe out towards the desert in Arizona, And you might think to yourself, well, there's this desert. There's not a lot that lives out here. Well, I promise you there is a lot of things that can live out in the desert. The little plants, little bugs, maybe they come out at night, maybe during their hiding in the bushes, maybe they're hiding in the cactus, but there is diversity wherever you look. And so one of the really great things we can do in our own backyards is look to plant plants that are native to the communities in which we live. So one of the things that we've done is we've imported plants from all over the world, and we'll plant these because, oh, this is pretty, and we'll bring this from, you know, this plant is from Asia, or this plant is from Europe, or maybe this plant, we live in the West Coast, and this is from the East Coast. Well, when we introduce invasive species into our neighborhoods and into our backyards, well, that's one thing that can lower biodiversity, because they're not, over time, they haven't evolved to be part of the of a healthy ecosystem in our community. So really a wonderful thing you can do is start thinking about how you can make sure that the plants you plant in your garden, the flowers and the bushes, all are from the area that you're living. Another wonderful thing that you can do to encourage wildlife to come in is you can put up bird boxes and bird baths and put out some seeds to help support other living animals that might be able to then be drawn and attracted. One of the things that we're doing at our house in this spring is we're going to be pulling out a lot. We moved into a new house not too long ago. We're actually going to be getting rid of some of the grass. We live in California. There's not really supposed to be grass here. There's grass out on the curb. We're going to get rid of that grass, and we're going to plant native pollinator flowers and bushes to attract the local bees and the local pollinators that can help increase biodiversity in the neighborhood than just having, you know, a lawn of grass that doesn't belong here in this particular environment.
Yeah, that's something I would love to do in Florida. I live in Florida, and we're in a neighborhood, unfortunately, where you have to keep everything green, and we pressure wash the sidewalks. Don't even get me started on that. about how that wastes water. But, you know, that's something that you think about all the time. And yes, even the gators that are in our retention ponds in the front of our subdivisions have a purpose. They kind of go back. There's a marsh. And so they come in sometimes, and then they go back to the marsh. But I never really thought about that. All of the different things that the gators have to live. And then, as you said, kind of like the food web that goes all the way down to the bottom where the plants are.
Well, that's exactly right. And we all rely on a healthy biodiversity to survive and to thrive for our health and our food. And another thing that kids can do that I didn't want to mention is the nonprofit organization that I run. We focus on empowering young people because we believe that young people have the power to change the world.
Yes.
And we are all about giving them the tools and the resources to do that. And so we have a new program that we just launched called the Our Echo Challenge. And it's available for kids, along with their teachers or parents or adult mentors, to create teams and look in their community and find issues or problems with biodiversity that they can solve, right? We're all about solving problems.
Yes.
And so this whole program is it's a national program across anywhere you are in the United States. You can participate. All you have to do is go to earthecho.org or ourechochallenge.org. And you can get all the tools and resources to enter in this competition. You have to come up with a plan and a proposal by Earth Day, April 22nd.
Oh, wow.
And then if your project is chosen, we'll choose 10 projects that we'll then judge over the course of May and June. And then the three final winning teams will win scholarships between $1,000 and $5,000 to continue their projects. So we're really excited about the Our Echo Challenge. And that's another very specific way that you can work with Earth Echo to help solve biodiversity in your community.
Wow, that's really cool. Philippe, I have to say, you have so much passion about this issue. Where did that come from? Did you just wake up one morning and say, I have to protect all these creatures that are living around me?
Well, you know, Jed, I grew up with my grandfather. His name was Jacques Cousteau, and he helped invent scuba diving, and he explored the oceans for decades and decades and decades, for many years, and made lots of documentaries. So I grew up with his stories, with my father's stories and his documentaries, and they really inspired me. And I realized that, you know, the reason I love nature and love biodiversity and love exploring the world is because when I was a kid, I had great teachers like my grandfather, my father, when I was really little. And so what we wanted to do at Earth Echo is help other young kids around the country and around the world also recognize how fun it is to explore the world, how fun it is to take action and help make the world a healthier, better place. And also, in particular, send a message out to young people. You don't have to wait until you're grown up to do that. As a young person, you have the power to change the world in your communities today. And that's what we're all about helping young people do.
Absolutely. Now, I also want to talk about, because you're on Exploration Awesome Planet, right? Mm-hmm. I watched one of those videos. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. You're the one where you're standing outside a crater or whatever. So tell everybody where they what you do, because you get to not only just live, you get to live biodiversity by going all these really cool places. So tell everybody where they can find you on that.
I'm really, really lucky. We do lots of different projects in media and television. One of those is a show that I host called Exploration Awesome Planet. It airs Saturday mornings, usually on your local Fox station, but it's also available on Hulu and Amazon Prime. And we have six seasons, and we travel all over the world exploring everything from volcanoes to sharks and coral reefs and deep caves in Slovenia and glaciers up in Alaska. We've done amazing things on that show. So that is a show for kids, for families, Exploration Awesome Planet. And I also have a book that just came out called The Endangereds. That is also a book that's targeted to kids, about 8 to 13, but also even younger are really enjoying it. And that's all about endangered species. And it's like it's a group of endangered species that come together, an orangutan, a pangolin, a polar bear, and a narwhal. And together, they get super intelligence, and then they fly and travel all over the world solving problems and helping save other endangered species. So it's this wonderful adventure of animals that are doing incredible things all over the world. So that book's been a lot of fun, too. And in the back, we have lots of resources about those animals and what kids can do to help them. So if you care about endangered species, The Endangereds, that book is a lot of fun, too.
Wow, this is really exciting. Six seasons of your TV show. Like, I could binge that, like, for a whole week. That would keep me busy.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of us are still stuck at home during COVID. Awesome Planet is a great way to pass some time. And for parents out there, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun show. And like I said, it's kind of targeted towards, you know, teens, tweens, even younger. But we have a lot of families that love to watch it as well together. So
I mean, it's cool. If you ever need people to go on all of these amazing places and see science in action, just, you know, give me a call, because it looks amazing.
We had a lot of fun. I think this season we were filming with bears and whales we were doing things. Actually, one of the episodes we filmed were the winners of the Biodiversity Challenge from last year.
Oh, that's so cool.
Bunch of middle school students, and they did a project to get rid of an invasive species, the crayfish, in the Santa Monica Mountains. And those crayfish were introduced by fishermen because they wanted to use them as bait for catching fish in the rivers. The crayfish come from down in Louisiana. They don't belong here in California. And so they have, like, destroyed the ecosystem, because oftentimes when you introduce invasive species, animals in particular, they're new to the environment, so the animals that they eat don't know to be afraid of them, and there are no animals that have evolved to eat them, so they're able to just grow and grow and grow like crazy. So the crayfish have been a big problem, and so the students that we worked with that won the grand prize last year had a whole project to work in their community. They built these cool traps. They innovated new ways to trap these crayfish, and they won the prize. Another grand prize winner was kids that were developing robots to go out into lakes and rivers to clean up trash autonomously. So we have we have a lot of fun with that, and we feature those on Awesome Planet as well. So who knows? Maybe some of your listeners will feature next season as the winners of the Our Eco Challenge.
That would be cool.
That would be amazing.
You know, the nice thing is you mentioned, you know, we're all kind of locked down in pandemic. Hopefully, we'll all be out soon, but there are a lot of things that you can do just with your family, and you can do it safely with masks on and staying distant from each other while you're connecting and hugging the earth.
Exactly. Yes. Everybody's staying safe, masks, social distancing, but a lot of people can still go out to the local park and can go out on a walk. Maybe go out in your front or backyard if you have one. For a long time, we lived in an apartment, and we would just, on the windowsill, be growing some plants, even something as simple as that, or having some flowers and watching the bees come there. So that was our escape sometimes when we lived up in, you know, high rises and apartment buildings. We still had a little bit of nature on the windowsill just to give us a little taste of the world.
So on our show, we like to have the experts give the kids a challenge. Do you have a specific challenge or other than the echo challenge that you were talking about?
I have one challenge, which is I like to challenge everybody to go outside, spend 10 minutes, time yourself, spend 10 minutes quiet and just observe and try and count all the different animals you can find. Look through the grass, count the birds, whatever it is, and see how many different amazing little insects and creatures and worms and birds and things, squirrels, whatever it is that you see in 10 minutes. So take a little bit of time. Don't make any noise. But just be quiet. You'll be surprised at how many animals might come around and not be afraid once it's quiet for a little while. And then, of course, I'm also challenging all of you to go to earthecho.org and join the Our Echo Challenge. Come up with a plan to help biodiversity in your community by April 22nd. And like I said, who knows? We might see you on Awesome Planet next year.
Wow. That would be awesome.
Jennifer, the kids go outside and stay quiet for 10 minutes and they start observing all the creatures. Maybe they'll see one of the cryptids we talked about in an earlier episode of the podcast.
Maybe they will. Although I have to say, I'm not going to do what Doug Wechsler did where he stood and let all the army ants walk over him. Mm-hmm. So that I would pass on.
Yeah. That's brave.
Yeah. A colony of them walked over top of his feet. Yeah. We Jed and I decided we'd pass on that one, right, Jed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Philippe, this has been awesome. I've had so much fun, and I've learned so much. Thanks so much for being part of Solve It for Kids.
Jed, Jennifer, I had a blast. Thank you for having me. This is terrific.
It was awesome. Thank you, Philippe.
Anytime.
Whoa! Jennifer, Philippe was phenomenal. I learned so much.
I know, he was amazing, and he's so passionate about what he does. Isn't it just cool to hear about biodiversity and counting all the insects and creatures in your backyard?
Yeah, and I love the fact that kids all over the world get to be part of a challenge and maybe win a scholarship to make things better right there in their neighborhood.
Exactly. So kids, if you want to learn more about this, go to our website, solveitforkids.com, and make sure to check out Philippe's challenge and learn all about him, and we'll see if we can have links to his really cool Exploration Awesome Planet videos.
Ah, that sounds awesome. Man, oh man, this has been a fantastic episode. Solve It for Kids rocks. And everybody, you guys, make sure you come back next week for another exciting episode of
Solve It for Kids.